I am a winner. Santa Claus, Santa's gift program to me, how I train my genie stem cells. And this is lecture two, I am a winner. I am a winner. Don't I look like a winner?
Yeah, like Santa Claus.
Don't I look like Santa Claus here? Santa Claus's hat on? I should have blinking lights, but they sometimes blink, sometimes don't. Okay. I'm a winner. I use my imagination, and it works for me. Is there anything that's impossible for the divine in us? Is there anything that's impossible for us to achieve? We have stem cells. We have the law of cause and effect. And when we put the law of cause and effect into motion, when we put the stem cells into motion, we get results. Now, we always get results. And we always get things coming back to us. We always get things coming to us from some beautiful sources. We magnetize it into our life. We create it like it tells in The Secret, you know, that we magnetize these things to ourselves. Because our imagination helps us to recognize them. Now, is that true? I don't hear you.
We don't magnet.
I asked you a question and I wanted an answer. And the answer is yes or no.
Yes.
Thank you. Is that true or not? Is it true?
No.
Thank you. Now, see how easy it was for her to say that? You see, we get so mangled up in whether it's true or not, and how it's true and how it isn't true, and we forget that that's the answer, no. Now, are you sitting here?
Yes.
Are you a nice person?
Yes.
Do you like yourself?
Yes.
Do you think that you've never done anything in your life that ever could make you not like yourself?
Yes.
Yes. You've never done anything in your life that you could ever make yourself not like yourself. Never. You don't have the capacity to be do anything that would make you not like yourself. You don't have the capacity. Because you don't have the capacity to do anything contrary to your nature. Now, you might have the inclination, and I don't mean inclination as much as I mean the temptation to do it. But do you ever have the capacity to do it? Could you ever do anything contrary to your highest good? Could you ever do anything contrary to the highest good that you have for yourself of others? Well, at least one of you gets this question right. That's good. My goodness sakes. I use my imagination and it works for me. How do you use your imagination? You use your imagination every time you get up in the morning. I think it's going to be a wonderful day. I think it's going to be a super day. I think everything is wonderful. Herb, you bypassed your answer. Why did you do that? Why did you say that you could magnetize things into your existence? Well, because you have the possibility to imagine yourself as a human being or as a divine being. And when you visualize yourself as a human being, you know what you're doing? You're magnetizing things into your existence. My mother can like me and that'll make me happy. My boyfriend or my girlfriend will like me, that makes me happy, you know. I can eat some ice cream and that'll make me happy. Bull roar. Nothing makes you happy. It's your thought that makes you happy. It's your imagination that makes you happy. You do not magnetize anything into your world, for everything already exists. The thought already exists that you think something could make you happy or sad. That thought already exists. Now, do you want to use that thought? Do you want to own, admit to that thought that thoughts can make you happy or sad? Do you want to admit to it? And if you want to admit to it, then you're giving your imagination full swell sway in that area. Kind of silly, isn't it? Kind of silly. When we give our imagination the opportunity to fly where it wants to fly, it's always going to crash. Did you hear that? When we give our imagination the opportunity to fly where it wants to fly, it'll always crash. Why? Can any of you think what the answer might be? Why? Why will it always crash?
Because we limit it.
Because we do what?
Because we limit it.
We limit our imagination? In a way of speaking, yes, we limit it, but our imagination will always crash because we think it is not already complete. It is something that is developing, something that we're magnetizing into our life. And when you say, good goes from me, good comes to me, you're magnetizing things to you. That's a good phrase. It's a good step for us to have a platform to move on to. But we leave the human behind. I mean, this whole seminar has nothing to do with being a human being. We talk about being a human being. We talk about acting like a human being. But we are moving far beyond that. We're moving into the realm of the infinite. We're moving into the realm of the impossible. We already talked about all the impossible things that Santa Claus does and that magicians do. You say, well, it's not real. Oh, sure, it's real. You have to tell yourself it's not real because you think you can't do it. Can anyone become a magician? Sure. Just learn what a magician does and do it. Can anyone become Pavarotti and sing with the magic that Pavarotti sings with? Sure. What makes Pavarotti a magical singer?
Singing.
I'm sorry?
Singing.
What makes a Pavarotti a magical singer? Singing? Singing?
Yes.
No. It's the magic behind the singing. Anyone can sing, but if they don't have magic behind the singing is blah. It's okay. You've listened to a lot of so-so singers, and you've accepted them as so-so singers. But when you hear a Pavarotti, when you hear a Magic Man, a Caruso, when you hear any one of these beautiful Enrico Caruso, who comes out with such glorious notes, and Maria Callas, when she sings, she brings down the house. Does she work at singing? No. It comes out of her heart, out of her soul, out of her being. It just comes out of her. It's just like it's the most magical thing in the world. Pavarotti, he gets a little bit excited about singing, but that's only because he's an actor, too. He's playing the game, whatever the scene calls for, whatever he's singing. But Maria Callas doesn't do that. She just is a magic voice that sings. Listen to her sometime and pay attention to what she's trying to tell you. And all she's doing is she's telling you, listen to the beautiful voice. La 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 la. What she says doesn't make any difference at all. What she says does contribute to the opera that she's singing in or anything like that. But every one of her notes is a note of magic and a note of beauty and a note of great joy. Pavarotti's notes are great too, but he whipples along in his singing in there. He gets the two mixed up a little bit. Now, when you hear someone who really is themselves and has fun, they're wonderful. Pavarotti has a lot of fun when he's singing as the three or four tenors singing together. Because they're having a game. They're just da 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 da. It's not what they're singing. It's how they're singing. And the magic and the beauty of their singing. Now, that's what imagination does. Imagination sparkles you into something that is not real. It sparkles you into something that steps beyond what we call real in the human sense and moves you into the infinite cosmic consciousness, which is so wonderful and so beautiful. Now, I use my imagination and it works for me. The trouble with many people is they let their imagination use them. Oh, we're going by a graveyard, and grave people come up in the night, and and oh, did you hear a squeak in the other part of the house? Oh, it must be a burglar coming in the house. Name it, claim it. Your imagination plays all sorts of games with you. Now, if you are a mother waiting for your daughter to come home from a late night date, and you're sitting in the living room, and you're just waiting, and you hear a door squeak, you think, surely it's her coming in. No, 9 o'clock, not her. Who is that? Oh, that's my son. He's been out with his friends, and he's all done. Okay? Door squeaks later. And who is it? Luna's sneaking in. Luna is just a little puppy dog, but he knows how to jump up and turn the knob and come in. But unfortunately, when he lands a little noisy. And so you hear him, and you say, Luna, where have you been? Well, arf, arf, all is good. Luna's a dog, you know. So, you see, this is what happens. Our imagination plays tricks. Did you see Luna jumping up and turning the handle of that knob? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you see Luna barking and say, I'm home, Mom. I'm ready for a late supper. You see, all these things fit in our human imagination. But what do you really want to have? Are you the master of your world? Then let your imagination be the master with you. Visualize whatever it is you want to visualize. My daughter goes out, and she promised to be back by 11:30. I go to sleep, and I don't think a thing. My daughter goes out, and she's been raised by my values. I don't imagine her doing anything contrary to these values. My daughter goes out, and she's going to have a good time, and her idea of a good time is a good time. Not something I disapprove of, because she's my daughter. She's my creation. She's my person. She always lives up to whatever I imagine for her. Whatever I imagine. See, our imagination is pretty terrific. And when we let other people run our imagination, she never listens to me. She never does what I tell her. She thought, well, of course she doesn't, because you've already given up. See? But when you haven't given up, you say, my children are the most beautiful, spiritually illumined children in the world. They go out and have fun. Wherever they go, everyone is blessed by their presence. But everyone is blessed by their presence. Everyone is blessed by their being in their group. Their group can have all the strange ideas that they want. But by the time my children are done being in their presence, they say, oh, come on, let's go do this good thing, you know? And that's what they do. That's just what they do. You see, imagination is very powerful. And it's very human. Because it presumes something's going to be that may not be. But if we can have the imagination under our control, and we say what it is that's taking place in our world, then our imagination is our tool, and we use it for ourselves. Now, what I'm saying to you is not new. What I'm saying to you is not something that's strange or different. What I'm saying to you is one of those steps that is so necessary. And what is it that you have gotten out of what I've just said? And if you haven't gotten it out of it, I'll tell you. What you have just gotten out of what I said is, believe in yourself. You are the creator of your imagination. You are taking out of your infinite mind whatever ideas you want to experience in your life. You are the master. You are the master. And you can have anything you want. Do anything you want. Be anywhere you want. And it's done. But you don't do it. I say to Ellen, how is this and how is that? And then she says, oh, just fine, just fine. Everything's all right. Well, I don't think so. If you have a frantic attitude while you're talking to me, everything's not in order. You follow me? When you are upset when you're talking to me, everything's not in order. When you come to me and you say, I say, how is everything? And you say, really? Excellent. Really, and think about it. Really excellent. And you think, yes, it is excellent. Everything is in divine order. And you mean divine order. You don't mean human order, worldly order. You don't mean the order of our family morals and ethics and ways of doing things, you know. Everything is in divine order. No. How can everything be in divine order? You have spoken your word. And you have put that imagination to work with your word. And so therefore you get the results. But you cannot have the results if you're not willing to take responsibility for yourself. And I tell you, this is our only fault. Our only fault is that we don't take responsibility for ourselves. Now you, Christina, you are the most balanced, wonderful, fabulous woman on the face of the earth. You are intelligent. You are in charge of yourself at all times. You make your choices of how you're going to do things, and you do it. You and Hengli don't talk about something. You mentally do it. You visualize yourself. And when you visualize yourself doing it, then you do it, whatever it is that pleases you. But you do not do things that make the rest of the world unhappy. You do not do things that make the rest of the world uptight because you don't care. You see, you used to enjoy shaking other people's boats and chains and, you know, getting other people upset. You knew what you were doing all the time. You're always on top of it. But you felt that it was kind of fun to shake their boat because they're so shakeable, you know. But now you're saying to yourself, no, I am not a clone or a clown. I am not a pawn of somebody else's thinking. Everybody looks at Christina and thinks, this is a lady who has a lot of fun. This is a lady who's in charge of her life and enjoys it. This is a lady who is a magical. You see, imagination. How does she imagine herself being that way? Does she imagine herself being that way, having other people be unhappy with her? No. She imagines herself, everybody comes to her doorstep and says, Christina, I'd like to know you. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. I mean, I'd like to have your charisma brush off on my children or on me too. And you see, this is your world. You want to imagine it with all your heart and all your soul and all your being so that you can be totally in charge of everything you do, no matter what it may be. You're the master. But you can't be the master if you feel sorry for yourself. And whenever we feel sorry for ourselves, we throw away our imagination. We say that somebody else is running the show, and it's very stupid. And now you know you have the freedom to be wise crazy. Crazy like a fox. Wise crazy. You get out there and do your silly things, do your wonderful things, and everybody looks at you and says, wow, I wish I had the courage to do that. I wish I had the courage to be so wonderful. Just like we told Irene. Irene, go out and do your thing, and if anybody doesn't like it, that's too bad. You go do your thing and enjoy yourself, but they'll fire me. Then let them fire you. Move in with Jorg. You know, let him fire you. No, but you see, do your thing. The end of the world isn't there. The end of the world never is. Just do your thing and don't worry about what people say, because people are not necessarily going to be awake to how wonderful you are, you know? And that's important to be. And Ingeborg there, my goodness sakes, Ingeborg knows the philosophy inside and out and upside and down. But now, Ingeborg, comes, the school is over. Class is out. Nobody around to help you. You got to practice it. Practice it. Now, Ingeborg, don't just say yes because it sounds good. But say to yourself, I am surrounded by beautiful beings, pure reflections of my own wonderful, gentle consciousness. I am the master of my world. I am crazy wise in everything I do. Everybody looks at me and says, wow, that's quite a woman, you know. Imagine that, you know. Not just because you're carrying lumber, you're carrying coals to Newcastle, actually, but not just because you're carrying lumber, but because of what? What is it that you want people to be appreciative of you about?
Nothing.
Nothing. You don't need people to appreciate you for anything. If you appreciate yourself. Yeah. So, now, do that. Now, do you think, and your answer here must be yes, do you think that everybody in this world appreciates how wonderful you are?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll give you a little help there. Do you think that everybody in this world sees you as the majestic lady that you are?
Yes.
Do you see yourself as the majestic lady that you are?
Yes.
Are you always awake, alert, alive, enthusiastic about life?
Yes.
Yes. Now, this is what a crazy
one. When I'm fully awake.
When you are fully awake?
Yes. Then I see it.
When are you fully awake? All the time.
Hmm?
Thank you. You're welcome.
After good sleep.
Yeah. Well, you're always fully awake.
Yes.
And even when you think that you're drifting off to sleep, you're fully awake. You know you're drifting off sleep. You know that you're bored by what you're hearing, and so you drop away. And, hey, don't be bored. Create the person speaking, saying things that are vital, dynamic, and interesting to you. Ingeborg, do you ever fall asleep while you're watching a movie on TV? Very seldom.
Very seldom.
The movies on TV are so structured that they tickle your funny bone and they wake you up even when you think that you might be tired or bored. Mm-hmm. Now, this is how we want to look at life. Look at life that it tickles your funny bone and gets you all excited about life. Because this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. If you can get excited about life, you too. Get excited about life. Not just the same old, same old. You see, you go to your office, Christina, and when you go in your office, you say, yeah, another day. Another same bunch of people I deal with. Another same bunch of losers coming in and wanting jobs from us. Another same bunch of people who just don't understand that there's more to life than that. Well, Christina, your privilege, now you heard the word privilege, your privilege is to be a living example of what an ideal woman is. So everyone who comes in your office sees an ideal woman. And they say, wow, if I could work in an office that had a woman like Christina in it, man, ho, 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 I would work extra hours for free, you know? If I could, you see, this is what you want to do. Be so charming, be so delightful. Look at every single person that comes in your office. Just look at them as though they're the person who's got the most joyful experiences to share. And that they're just, you know, wonderful. And just draw it out of them. Next thing you know, they'll become entrepreneurs. You know what an entrepreneur is? Yes. And they will start creating their own businesses. And they'll have you be the master secretary, the master CEO for all of them. Rabba-dabba-doo, you know. But like yourself. Be a living example of what you think it means to like yourself. So that everyone who sees you sees that person that you like yourself as. Nice, huh? Yes, yes, yes. And Ellen, how are you going? Are you liking yourself?
I like myself.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, what kind of people are you surrounded by?
By people, by my mirror, by who I am.
Okay. Well, Gertrude, I'm talking to Ellen here. Ellen, what kind of people are you surrounded by? Ellen says, by her mirror, people just like her. And then she says, Herb, when are we going to get some more young people on campus? Herb, when are we going to get some more young people working with us here on campus and participating in our program? Actually, they're all of you are young. Now, when are you going to do that? And she says, I don't know, I don't know. And then Anita comes. And of course, she's a spring chicken, you know. And then Christine comes to visit and what have you. And then Sylvia, she's dancing around like a young teenager, you know. And Rex and Love, I mean, how old are these guys? The only person you might consider to be elderly might be yourself. You know. Now, start looking at everybody as a young spring chicken. Now, what do I think about Ingeborg? Ingeborg is a kid. She's older than I am, but she's a kid. I'm 25. But now, Ellen?
Yes, sir.
You experience anything in life that you want to experience. Ellen, the university is going fine. The organization is going along good. The programs are fine. The things that we are doing with our students, we have nothing but to be proud of them and happy with them. Now, you want to surround yourself by some young blood, okay? So you go to the supermarket, and you get in line with the young people, and you say, they're little geniuses. Now, start saying that about people here. Now, every single person I recommend to you that we consider talking to do something on campus, you say, oh, no, oh, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like our neighbors.
Oh.
Ah, you see, ah. No, don't go naming any names. Now, how can you look at these people? How can you look at anybody who comes onto campus? You have only people coming on campus who are brilliant, who are young, who are dynamic. What is our statement? I am young. I am
vital, dynamic.
Alive.
Yes.
God, yes, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. Ellen, if you would say at least 2 million times a day, I'm vital, or maybe a million and a half, I'm vital, dynamic, alive, every day, you would be so surrounded by vital, dynamic, alive people, you wouldn't know how to appreciate it. You just think it's the most natural thing in the world. Is that okay? That does. That's nice. Okay. Put the cause in motion. I am vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And if you are, then your mirror is going to reflect beautiful things for you. But obviously, your mirror at the moment is reflecting something that is not fulfilling your desire, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, can you say, what's this?
I'm vital, dynamic, and alive. And that's all what I'm surrounded with.
Well,
people who are vital, dynamic in their life like me.
Isn't that true?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know what the joke laughing was about here. But I mean, it's probably an insight or a house joke or
yes,
something that I don't know about. But anyhow,
exercise.
I'm vital, dynamic, alive. Now, Ellen?
Yes.
What do you think of I'm independently
wealthy?
Oh, that's good. That's nature.
That became nature.
What do you think of I am beautiful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
What do you think of I have the most wonderful children in the world that have made the world sit up and take notice of how wonderful they are?
Here we are.
Okay. Now, how did you do that? Now, Ellen, stop and think what I'm saying and listen to what I'm saying. When I say your kids are so grand, what's your first thought? You see them grand, don't you? You don't pick them out details, but you just generically see them grand. When I say, you're vital, dynamic, alive, what do you say? What do you think? You think you're just jumping around like a spring chicken. Yeah? Okay? Now, you see, your imagination immediately goes to work on your affirmations, far more than you realize it. But it really goes to work on what you think, not what you necessarily say. So if you say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive, and you feel beat, you know, then your imagination is going to go to work on that. Now, you can say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive, until you're blue in the face, and then say it some more. And little by little, all other thoughts will fall away because they don't belong anymore. They have nobody's giving them any attention, and you are vital, dynamic, alive. And this is what it's all about. This is where you're going. This is what you want to arrive at. But You say, Herb, you say the same thing all the time. You say the same, that's right, I do. And one of these days, you'll say the same thing, and you'll enjoy what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Herb, I'd like to see a little more of what you enjoy. You cannot. You cannot see what I enjoy until you enjoy it. If that's your desire for yourself, that you are whole and perfect and fantastic and glorious in every way, then that's what you'll have. But if you don't think that for yourself, you can't see it in me. Because, Ellen, what am I?
Mirror.
I am your spiegel. I am your mirror. And if I am your mirror, and you only see what you are, and you can't see yourself vital dynamic alive, you can't see me vital dynamic alive. You see me decrepit. And that's not acceptable. You don't stay in my world very long if that's how you choose to see me. Mm-hmm. If you choose to see me not anything less than a billionaire or unlimited, you know. What is the term?
God unlimited.
God unlimited, that's right. That's true too. But independently wealthy. If you see me independently wealthy, then that's good. If you don't see me independently wealthy, then that's bad. That's bad. Because you're not there. And you're trying to cut me down. And I just fluff you out of my world. I fluff you out of my real world. I may play games with you on your illusionary world here, you know. But my real world, no way. You can't get in it unless you are it. Now, what is my real world? Gertrude, what is my real world? I'm vital dynamic alive, et cetera.
I had to think about that. Say that I first. Yeah.
Well, anything good is right. Say something.
Yeah. Vital dynamic alive.
And?
Unconditional love.
Yeah, unconditional love. Vital dynamic alive. And? Come on. That's not all, surely.
Independently wealthy?
Independently wealthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy?
Happy? Surrounded by magnificent people?
Yes, yes, yes.
Including yourself?
Yes, yes, yes. Surrounded by beautiful dogs.
And isn't that true?
Yes, yes.
Now, yeah, you're sort of smiling as you're saying these things because you're not used to saying them regularly. But when you were saying them, did you sort of see it happening?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, just a teensy-weensy bit, you saw it happening.
Yes.
Now, just think if you really put more attention to it, how you would see it happening, not a teensy-weensy bit, but a big, big bit.
Yes.
That'd be terrific, wouldn't it? But that's what we want to do. I follow my inner creativity. Do you follow your inner creativity, Gertrude?
Yes.
What is your inner creativity? Tell me, just one thing.
I see myself fulfilled. I see myself doing, enjoying all the things what I like to do.
Okay.
And
now I said, tell me one thing, right?
Yeah.
And you start telling me several.
Yeah.
Now, you see yourself walking and dancing and climbing and running and doing all that lovely things. Okay? Now, that's where we're starting. So that's, we want to get going there. That was the first thing you mentioned. Now, how do you follow that inner creativity of seeing yourself walking? How are you walking? Are you walking fast or slow? Or are you walking with grace and charm and beauty? Yeah, so you just want a little bit of love, huh?
No.
You see, to say I feel comfortable is a point, and a good point. But you walk with grace and charm and magic. You walk like a dancer, like Terpsichore. You walk just like you sing, you know, magically and wonderfully. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, see, the minute you pinpoint these things, then you're drawn to the pinpoint, which is not where you want to be. Because the pinpoint is your step on your improvement, not necessarily your improvement or your reality. Now, how do you walk? You don't have to say what I say, but do say something good for yourself. Superb. These are words that are yours, and you can see that happening, right? Okay. Now, when you and Jerome walk together down the street, and you just saw from here down, you know, not up, could you tell which one is walking? You both would walk the same, wouldn't you? With that easy gait, that happy gait, that self-confident gait, that gait of a teenager who says, I've got the world by the by the hair. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Now, you see, have these type of images, be this type of creativity in your mind, and you will have that type of experience. Now, if we have no imagination, we have no love, we have no life, we have no experience. Imagination just opens up our doorways to our heart and to our soul and to our being. And you know what you're doing? See, what I'm working with you to do is for you to take a concept, take a thought, and have it be something that you can say, yes, I can see me doing that. Then, what happens after you do that? What happens is the white stem cells that are just eagerly waiting to flow into any purpose that you have them. Just surround your entire body, invigorating your entire body with youth and vitality and magic, you know, and vital dynamic alive. And every cell of your body is revitalized. Your liver, your lungs, your feet, your hair, your eyes, your nose, you're everywhere, you know. You're all just perfect. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's true, isn't it? But you see, now, when you can use your imagination, when you can use your visualization, those things take place in your life. And they take place in your life because they're, as you would use the word, you're comfortable. You see, when you're bequeamed with an idea, with a concept, with an experience, it's a natural for you. Are you comfortable letting your daughter go out with that boy? You said, yes, I do. I think he's a fine young man, and I think he's got the right attitude toward life, but I really don't care, because I know my daughter. She is tops, and she would not associate with anybody who is not her equal. She may be better, but at least her equal. You see, so you can visualize that, and you don't fight it. And you see, this is what happens to most of us. We fight these things so much that we don't experience it. We wonder why we're not walking on water. We wonder why we're not levitating. We wonder why we're not teleporting and going places that we want to go. It's just because we fight it. We fight it. Gertrude, tell me honestly, in your dreams, do you do all these things? Yes, you do. Well, I want to see you doing them while you're awake. Okay?
Yes.
That's an order. Now, how do you do it?
I do it. I just do it.
You do it by imagining yourself doing it. You see, this is, and then it's fun. Just imagine yourself doing it. Now, Ellen had some imagination like that, but she didn't follow through. Ellen wanted to get up and take somebody's hand and go someplace, and she didn't do it. She just thought about it. And you see, to think about it's not enough. That's the start. But then, in her imagination, do it, and then in fact, do it. You see, the demonstration of your genius, of your magic that you're developing the awareness of on this planet Earth, come in your utilization of it as you practice it. Now, you're going to goof. Say after me, I know that I know that I know God and He knows the answer.
I know that I know that I know God and He knows the answer.
All right, tell me the capital of China. Tell me that part I heard. Now tell me the capital of China. Anybody?
Beijing.
Huh? Beijing. Yeah. Oh, that place. Now, Gertrude, did you know that? See, Gertrude, you did know that, but you didn't trust yourself. See, we want you to start beginning to trust yourself. Now, that was an easy one. Yeah.
I know things I do not know where, from
whom I know. Because you're all knowledge.
Yeah.
I know that. But you see, that's merely an indication. And perhaps playing more crossword puzzles might be a good way of you wrestling out of yourself that genius. That's fun. But you see, we all have these experiences. And we don't believe in, we don't follow them. Now, how does Anita do this? Anita learns of something new and she jumps on it. Right?
I know everything.
You know everything. Beautiful. Okay. Now, Anita,
yeah.
What makes you think you know everything? And I'll answer it for you. Because everything I choose to know, I know. Okay? That's the answer, right? Okay. Now, Anita, you know everything. Does this make you feel comfortable, or does it make you feel like if I ask you a question, you'll goof?
Both.
Okay, now, as long as you have that attitude in your mind, you'll goof.
Yeah.
Not because you don't know,
yeah.
But because you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You don't trust yourself. Like I told Ellen, I told Gertrude here, and I told... And Christina and Ingeborg, all of you, and we'll get to Sylvia too. But trust yourself. Trust that imagination that's at work inside of you and let it work. Let it do great things. Trust it. You see? Now, have you ever met a dog you didn't like?
No.
Now, why? That's right. No. First, you like yourself.
Yeah.
And everything else comes after that.
Yeah.
So, if you truly like yourself, you could never not like anything. You like everything.
Yeah.
Okay, put it a positive way. Now, this is true. Now, if anybody were to come at you with an unhappy attitude, and you liked yourself, could they ever reach you? No. If anyone were to think a bad thought about you, which they couldn't do, could they ever reach you with that bad thought?
No.
Now, why?
I like me, I don't even hear it.
Because you're one-pointed and saying, I like me. Now, you see, you are a bubble, and you have a tendency to jump on every opportunity that comes along and have fun with it. And you don't care whether it's a big one or a little one, whether it's something that nobody's ever done before or not, you enjoy it. Now, you enjoy it because you like to jump on everything that comes along. You like to take part in the excitement of life. Now, taking part in the excitement of life is playing in with the imagination. Now, do you look at things and you say, oh, yes. Do you look at drawings that you make and you say, hey, I didn't notice that before. Hey, I did this here, and that comes out of there. And in your drawing, you have maybe about 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 different images that you never noticed were there. You didn't even realize they were there, that you were creating these things because something inside of you was shining forth in that beautiful way. And you see, we can all learn to jump on things and have fun with things and get excited about things. And when we do, what happens? Our magic comes forth. And when that magic comes forth, then life's a lot of fun. Are you ready for that?
Yep.
All right, now, when you jump on something, what must you do, and I don't want to use the word must, but what must you do for it to be effective for you? What do you do for it to be effective for you? That's better than must. What do you do when any idea comes to you for it to be effective for you?
I work the idea, I do it.
You express it.
Yep.
You live the idea.
Yep.
Do you ever change your mind about any of the ideas you get started on?
Yes.
Are you honorable in doing that? You see, the thing is, if you follow your heart, even when it seems like it's tough, even like when it seems like it isn't the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do, or else you wouldn't have done it. You don't have the capacity to start something that isn't right. You follow that? If each one of us have this attitude about ourselves, we don't have the capacity to enter into anything unless it's perfect for us.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And when you doubt, you're merely feeling what other people might think. And whether they feel that that's a worthwhile event or not. And that's the wrong thing to do. You don't want to...
Just a flash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Follow your dream.
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And when you follow your dream, beautiful things happen. Now, you're going to think about this. And you're going to have it come up in your mind with every single experience you have. And you're going to make a decision as to what is your value. Now, you're going to say, I think I'll become a singer. And then I think I'll become a hairdresser. And I think I'll become a cook. I think I'll become a mathematician. I think I'll become God. I think I'll become something like this. And then, you see, those are all inspirations. Now, is there anything wrong with any of them? Oh, you heard that, huh?
Yeah.
And what should it be?
I am.
Not I think I will become, but I am. Huh?
Yeah.
Less words, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Now, can you say that to yourself night and day? Without any feeling of tiredness of saying it? I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, 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 I'm whole and perfect, I'm fantastic, I'm glorious, I'm wonderful, I'm peace, I'm beauty. You see how powerful that is?
Yeah.
And we give up. Most of the time, as we're working on these things, we give up. And we think meditation, affirmations surely aren't the way. They surely aren't the way. But they are the way. Now, we can give it a different word from affirmation. Now, what would be a different word that we would give to affirmations for affirmations?
Causes.
Excuse me?
Causes.
Causes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
causes. Yeah. Anybody else?
Statements of truth.
Statements of truth, yeah.
Imagination.
Yeah.
Concepts of imagination.
Concepts of imagination, very good.
Creative.
Creative, yeah. What are affirmations?
The truth.
Yeah.
Huh?
The truth.
Confirmation of truth.
Yeah, I'm...
Aspiration.
Hmm?
They are aspirations.
Well...
Are they actually reality?
That is reality, huh?
Yeah.
See, truth is a strange little word, but reality... An affirmation is our reality. Is that true?
Yeah.
An affirmation is our reality. Now, are you ever tired of talking about your reality?
No.
I would think not.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you ever tired of knowing who you are and what you are and being it? That's your affirmation. I'm God, God I am. I like me. I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit-minded body. I am illumined. You see, all these affirmations are merely a revelation of our
reality.
Reality. Right. And the word reality is a tough word, too, because we're so used to thinking that's real in the human terms. And it's really just a very competent illusion in the human terms. But it's reality, and that's where we want to go. Now, as you're learning of these things, which you already know, but as you're being reminded of these things by me, because you already know it, you understand that. I'm not teaching you anything, you already know it. I'm just revealing it to you again and again and again. As you do that, jump on it. Jump on it and make it yours. Get so excited that you're like Ellen. He came out of one seminar in, where was that? In that restaurant bar upstairs. Yeah. And she came running downstairs. This man was sitting there having a beer, waiting for us to come down because his wife was in the program. And she came up to this man and she jumped in his lap and she said, "I'm God and you're God. You know that?" He said, Yes. And, "Hey, get this woman out of here." This crazy lady. But you see, get so excited about what you're learning that you do silly things, perhaps, you know. It doesn't really matter. You know, everyone understood what was happening to Ellen and to other people, but they got to the realization, I'm God, everyone's God. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, I got a new lease on life. I got a new chance to do everything, you know. This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And that's what it is, wonderful. But we have to practice it. Now, Miss Susie Q, what game are you playing on this here? What bubble are you jumping on? What attitude are you using? How are you following your inner creativity? Anything particularly?
It's imagination.
You do stay with the subject. That's good. I appreciate that.
I saw
you would. Yes, I know. Okay, now, how do you use imagination to accomplish the goals you have for yourself? Now, you are doing certain things at the University of Healing here, and they take time, and you're doing them well. You're doing the what's Stefan's job? At Emhart.
Publisher.
Huh? Desktop publishing. You're doing desktop publishing. You're doing all these interesting things. You're doing cooking and you're doing what else are you doing?
Well, just all that includes being myself and having fun.
You do all those things that include being yourself and having fun? You do all those things that include being yourself and having fun? You think that's what you do?
Yeah.
You really think that's what you do?
Yeah.
Well, God said dunk.
Nothing more to say.
That's beautiful. But now, never forget that when the going gets tough. When things challenge you just a little bit, you immediately say,
I like me.
Yeah, but what you just said.
Oh, I'm being myself and having fun.
What you said before that. What did she say?
She creates by her imagination.
That's Abby earlier. Now, what's after that?
She does all the things that are fun for her.
She does all the things that are fun. These are her words. And I want you to take your words and use them because that's the most effective ones. If you take my words, then you'll be taking me. You'll be taking my thoughts, you know. I know that. That's why I want you to say it. That's why I want you to say it. Because that's your affirmation. What's that, Ellen?
I said she's smart. That is an affirmation. It's a cause put into motion.
Both.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's very right.
Yeah. But, see, that's you. And that's Ellen had hers, and Gertrude had hers. And Anita had hers, and Christine and even Ingeborg has hers. And what does Rex do?
He lives his.
What's his modus operandi?
Being himself and having fun.
His modus operandi is big brown eyes that make you do anything he wants you to do.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. He has big brown eyes. He looks up at you and he says, I think I'd like this. We're walking the path, and he wants a little more leeway, and he looks back at me right in the eye. And dogs don't look people in the eye very often, you know, but he looked me right in the eye, and he said, you know, you could give me more sniff time. There are so many interesting smells along the path. And he goes to bushes and takes just a little ends of the bushes and smells at them for a long time. And he, what's on there, you know? I get down there and try to smell it. I don't smell anything, you know. I think maybe he's already smelled it all up already. But this is the fun of it. But this is doing yourself, being yourself, having fun, living the ideal of who you are. And take it. Are you a winner?
Yes.
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 Rex, are you a winner?
Yes.
Jeez, taking up English. Good for you, Rex. Okay, now, you are all winners. And you are all applying it. And you're applying it with affirmations that are acceptable to you, phrases that you can use yourself. And you're having fun with it. So now, what I want you to do is think about that for the next few minutes and pause and get back here at 3:30. Well, it's 3:30 now. What did we do? Do we have our 2:30 lecture ready?
Yeah.
Oh, we did. What, am I on the wrong lecture here?
No, we finished lecture two.
Oh, that's right. No.
Now it's yeah, lecture three is coming up.
Oh, then we did do lecture two, right? Mm-hmm, that's good.
We all have winners.
Okay, so then, but this says at 3:30 the third lecture is supposed to begin. Well, and it's 3:30 now.
Be very longer.
Yeah. Were we longer?
Yeah.
1 hour?
No, quarter of an hour.
Oh, so yes.
My goodness.
1 hour instead of 3 quarters.
Well, I just had so much fun. Yes, I used up your potty time.
Imagination time.
Oh, we'll take a minute and take a break and come back in about 10 minutes, okay? 20 minutes too. All right. I love you.
I love you.
Oh, boy. Time goes fast. Have fun.